Matthew chapter 2. We've been in a series called King of Kings, and this has been part of a theme for this whole remainder of the year, from Genesis to Jesus. And last week I didn't give you a Bible reading for this week. I meant to give Daniel, but I'm actually going to be talking about Daniel again next week. So if you can, I know it's a busy season, but if you can, read the book of Daniel to finish the year. But today, being Christmas Eve, I want to talk for just a minute about Jesus, the King of Kings. And I want to look specifically at the wise men. And I don't have this whole scripture from Matthew chapter 2 on the screen, so on the big screen up here. So just listen or follow along if you have your Bible. But it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star.'" We just heard about that star. "We've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Let's talk about these wise men for a minute. I know we all love Christmas songs. I know we've all heard the song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." I can't remember the rest of the words, but the Bible doesn't say that there were only three. There could have been more, probably were, could have been less. It also doesn't say that they were kings. I might also add that they were probably not from the Orient. They were probably from Persia, area of Babylon. And also, they were not at the birth of Jesus in the manger. When you think of a nativity scene, you will always see the baby Jesus, and you'll see Mary, his mother, and Joseph. And you'll see the shepherds, and you might see sheep, and you might see cattle, but you almost certainly will also see the wise men. And I don't have any problem with that. I think that we should display our nativity scenes proudly, even on government property, if you want to know where I stand on that issue. But the truth of the matter is, those wise men were not actually there at the manger when Jesus was born. Verse 9 again says, "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." Notice it doesn't say baby. "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the..." What? House, not manger. "When they had come into the house, they saw the young child." Again, not baby. Jesus was a young child of maybe 1 or 2 years old, maybe even walking, a toddler at this point. But here's a question I want to ask. Who were these wise men? Why did they follow this star over 1,000 miles, on foot or on camel? Probably on camel, in the desert. How did they know about this star and what it meant? That the King of the Jews was to be born, the King of Kings. The answer may surprise you, and we've been kind of looking at the history of the Bible, but it goes way back to the book of Daniel, over 500 years before this story ever happened. Even though these wise men were not kings, they were important, powerful men. They were better referred to as Magi. Mortis. Sorry. Flip. They were better referred to as Magi. The Magi were advisors to kings. They were very smart, important, very intelligent, powerful people. They were experts in many religions. They were experts in philosophy and science and astronomy. Some may have been involved in the occult, such as magicians and sorcerers, but most were just intelligent men looking for answers. And how did they know about this star and the birth of the King of Kings? Have you ever wondered that before? How did they know about this? These Magi are wise men, being from the area that most scholars believe they came from in Persia. They would have studied the writings and teachings of their predecessors. They would have studied those wise men who had come before them. And none would have been more famous and wise, probably, than Daniel. Daniel, although he was a Jew, he had been taken into captivity and was a prisoner in Persia, in Babylon. But he became, because God was with him, and he honored God, and he loved God, God gave him wisdom, and he became an advisor to the kings. And in fact, he became their leader of the Magi. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 48 says, "Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon." There's that word again. This is how these wise men knew to look for the birth of the King of the Jews or the King of Kings. They knew this because they would have studied the teachings of the wise men who had gone before them. They most certainly would have studied the teachings of Daniel and the writings of Daniel. How did they know when to look for the birth of the King of Kings? God told Daniel when this was going to happen through the angel Gabriel. And I'll just read this from the New Living Translation because it makes a little more clear sense. This is Daniel 9:25. It says, "Now listen and understand." Now this is talking about years. "Seven sets of seven plus 62 sets of seven will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until a ruler, the anointed one, comes." Anointed one refers to the Christ or the Messiah. "Jerusalem will be rebuilt with streets and strong defenses despite the perilous times." So these wise men would have studied the writings of past wise men, and the writings of Daniel gave a time frame to look for the sign. But what about the star? How did they know about that sign? Remember, these guys, they were from Persia, and the answer goes all the way back to the book of Numbers. This is a very early prophecy concerning the coming of the King of Kings. In Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, says, "I see him," talking about Jesus the Messiah, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near." In other words, this was going to happen a long time from when this prophecy came. And what did he say? He said, "A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of turmoil. But who was prophesying this? This was long before Daniel's time. This was actually not a Jewish prophet. This was a pagan prophet by the name of Balaam. And he lived near the region of Persia. The wise men, being from Persia, they would not only have studied the writings of Daniel, but they would also have known about the prophecies of Balaam. This is how they knew to look for a star, and this is how they knew when, because Daniel told them when. But why were the wise men really wise? This is what I want to share with you three things today, because I like three. You like three, right? Let's work. Okay. All right. But this is what will make you wise as well. Number one, they worshiped with exceedingly great joy. Verse 10 says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him." It could have said that they rejoiced. It could have said that they rejoiced with joy. It could have said that they rejoiced with great joy. But listen to all the adjectives. It says they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. I don't know if we really know how to rejoice. We come close sometimes at maybe football games or concerts. But who is more worthy of our worship and our adoration and our rejoicing? Who is more worthy than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who gave His life that we may be saved? We should worship Him always with exceedingly great joy. Can I at least get an amen? We should worship. This is why I say I don't know that we fully get this. But understand, sometimes we're so reserved as a culture and we think that maybe this is somehow beneath our station. These men were advisors to the king who lived in palaces, and they were not dumb, foolish guys from the backwoods of East Texas. That's where I'm from, by the way. These guys were intelligent men, very learned men, and yet they worshiped with exceedingly great joy. That's what made the wise men wise. Because they had enough wisdom to know that they should worship God with exceedingly great joy. And it says, when they saw the child, they fell and worshiped him. That word fell down, it means something different than just a casual kneeling, of the bowing of the knee. It would be as if I took this glass vase top of this building and threw it down on the concrete. What would happen? It would shatter. That's actually what it means. These wise, intelligent men were shattered when they saw the child. A child, a little child. But he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they knew it. And they were completely broken in His presence. I mean, they had followed a star. Many believe that it was the planets lining up. And I don't know. I believe that it could have been a natural occurrence. But even God was in that, for He prophesied when it was going to happen. But think about it. When they followed the star all the way to Israel, it says after they met with Herod, then the star appeared again and went before him. Now, that's supernatural. That's more than just some natural phenomenon. And they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they found the child, because it rested right over his house, they knew, and they were broken. And they fell before a child, completely shattered. That's how they worshiped. They worshiped God with a broken heart, completely broken before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They worship with exceedingly great joy. The second thing is they gave extravagantly. Verse 11 says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And a lot have been said about these gifts and what they may have represented. Some say the gold was to help them escape the coming massacre that Herod was going to bring against the children and flee to Egypt. Some say the frankincense and myrrh were the spices that were used for burial, representing how he would give his life for the sin of all mankind. That may be true. But what matters is that when they were broken before God, they gave. And they gave extravagantly. If we are not givers, we are not true worshipers. And if we're not worshipers, we are lacking wisdom. Remember this, the wisdom of the Lord is to hear His leading voice. Look at what happened. I want you to look at what happens when we are truly wise. Look at what happens to those who worship exceedingly and give extravagantly. In verse 12 it says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. The third thing is that they heard and obeyed the voice of God. Up until this point, I don't know that they had ever actually heard God speak to them, that still small voice. They were studying the writings of God. They were following a sign, a star. But after they became worshipers and givers, they began to actually hear the leading voice of God. And they were wise enough to obey. They were wise enough to obey. Herod was not only going to kill Jesus as a child, he was also planning on killing the witnesses. He was planning on taking them out as well, these wise men. But God protected them and provided for them when they became worshipers and givers. True wisdom is hearing the leading voice of God and obeying what he says. And that comes from being worshipers of God, worshiping him with exceeding gladness and being givers into his kingdom and obeying. Jesus really is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, and he's worthy of our worship. Do you agree today? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Clap your hands to the Lord and let's worship him in this place. Lord, we worship. God, we give you praise today.